From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week my guest is Derek Van Scoten, aka DVS. This Brooklyn-based multi-instrumentalist has put in time as a producer, mandolin virtuoso, studio guitarist, and is now a beat-making, lick-looping DJ making big waves in his new East Coast home. Let's get to the interview. You played tons and tons of instruments, so let's make our way through your musical upbringing. What was the first instrument you picked up?
Well, you know, there was like the thing that like, you know, my school forced me to do, like the recorder and the violin and all that stuff. But when I'd say the beginning of music for me intentionally was in sixth grade when my mom bought my first guitar for me. And then pretty much from there, I never looked back.
And you consider yourself a guitarist first and foremost?
Yeah, I'd say in the order of things that I do, I'd consider myself a guitarist first, then a producer slash multi-instrumentalist, and then a DJ in that order.
Okay. And so when you were going through school, you trained to be a studio engineer, and then you went ahead and got your music degree?
Yeah. Like, I grew up, you know, like in my bedroom on a four-track cassette recorder, making demos for my bands, and then learned how to do that professionally. And then kind of, you know, my late teens, early 20s was like, you know, I really want to become a legit musician. I want to learn how to read. I want to learn how to write. I want to play in an orchestra. I want to play in a big band. I want to do it all. So it really seemed like a legit music training was really the only thing that would, you know, satiate my appetite.
And when you were deciding to go to school at first for sound, were you thinking yourself eventually farther down the line becoming a mixer or a producer or something like that?
That's a good question, you know, because I was surrounded by a lot of kids at the time who really just wanted to study the technology and, you know, wanted to be an engineer on a really big record for Atlantic or whatever. And at the time it was in Nashville, so, you know, it was very country based where I went to school for audio. But I was definitely more, you know, I grew up playing in rock bands and I was also like going to raves and stuff like that. So I'd say definitely my primary interest there was learning to make my own music.
When you were training to be a studio engineer and maybe surrounded by people who were trying to become producers or engineers or mix these big albums, what made you decide to go ahead and say, okay, I need to go and get my music degree?
I guess I should back up and say, you know, my musical interests have been all over the place. And when I moved to Colorado after studying audio, I just got really excited about acoustic music because it was like this new, brand new thing that I had never done. So it was really, you know, because I had come from like a rock and an electronic background and all that kind of stuff. And it was really actually just meeting, like, to be honest, a lot of like the bluegrasser scene in Colorado that made me go, oh man, I want to like learn how to be a legitimate instrumentalist to where I can really hang on my own. And, you know, people would actually like call me to play this instrument and isn't just, you know, I'm going to start my band. I could actually make a living, you know, as a freelance artist on this instrument, which I ended up eventually doing.
And because you were in Boulder, I'm assuming that's how you fell into that rich scene there, playing around with the motet and string cheese and acts like that. Those that were focused on that acoustic sound, that bluegrass sound that was mostly about fundamental technical playing.
Exactly. You know, when I first went to Boulder, it was like I instantly picked up the mandolin as well. And that was kind of the start of me being a multi-instrumentalist. And I literally used to go to like 4 or 5 open bluegrass jams a week, which it was just amazing. It's about 10 years ago, and just the scene was very ripe then. I mean, it's still very ripe there now, but it's kind of turned into people having bands. But back then, it was much more jamming before people had bands. So it was neat. It was my first introduction to music being a social scene as well. So that was pretty cool.
Thank you. crime crunk scene from Devious right here on the UNS podcast.
When did you get into electronic music? Was this before you even went off to school?
Yeah, I mean, electronic music is kind of like the beginning and the end for me. You know, when I was in my late teens, I had some roommates that got me into people like some old school guys like Brian Eno, and like I used to listen to The Orb and stuff like that. And then one of my friends first took me to a rave back when they were called raves, you know? And so that was my late teens when I was like just starting to study production. And then, you know, when I moved to Boulder, I kind of threw all that in the closet and just kind of ignored it for a while and went into the hardcore, you know, acoustic scene. And then, but, you know, I'd say like 5 or 6 years later, I kind of unlocked that closet and I was like, oh yeah, I remember all this stuff. I'm excited about this again.
Did you always have the idea to combine your live instrumentation with digital beat production, or did that happen organically?
You know, it kind of happened organically. I used to play in a funk band called 8-Track, and we were like a live funk band. And what happened is once we made our record, we kind of needed a DJ in the band to help fly in a lot of elements that were on our record that we produced that was getting a lot of attention. So, and I actually produced the record. So it kind of seemed natural that I would become the guitarist/band DJ. So that was like my first band. It was like 5 years ago. So it was a live band playing to beats. And then slowly I kind of whittled it down from, you know, a 7-piece band playing to beats all the way to where I am now, where it's just me playing guitar and beats. It's been a very steady progression, you know.
Did you have any formal training in producing those beats? Did that sort of take you back to your days where you were just working in the studio, or did you have to relearn all of this? How did you get to actually producing these beats yourself?
No, that's a really good question. I'd say it was a mixture, you know. I mean, there's, you know, when you learn something, there are relevant elements throughout the years, but at the same time, it was, you know, it was 5 or 10 years later, you know, when I first started studying audio, Ableton didn't even exist. So when I kind of came back to it, there definitely was an element of catching up and learning new elements. But that was kind of exciting, you know, and I was listening to a lot of hip hop at the time, too. And that was very inspiring as to, you know, how to make a really strong beat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your production process. How do you begin to assemble tracks in the studio? Do you begin with the foundational beats, or are you so tied into playing physical, real instruments?
I have phases. I'd say when I first started out, I always started like with a beat and a bass line because it was a really new thing to me. And now I've kind of come full circle where I'm confident enough in my beat production and my bass line production that I can start with a guitar line or a vocal melody or something like that and feel confident that it will hold its own on the dance floor or, you know, on a record or whatever. So it's very song to song, which keeps it exciting for me.
Your music combines a lot of Motown, soul, and R&B elements, of course, with the modern-day hip-hop aesthetic. Do you spend a lot of time pouring through old tracks looking for samples? Are you a crate digger at heart?
Right. I'd say it's a mixture. You know, I have phases. When I first started out, that was definitely the element. I was trying to find really rare Motown things, you know, really rare drum beats, you know, going on record store, seeing if I could find old singles that had a cappella vocal tracks. Right now, I'm kind of currently in a phase where I'm trying to write a lot of sample-free material. So, you know, I really go back and forth, but I would say, you know, in the handful of years, amassed quite a collection of vinyl and CDs that were purchased solely for the purpose of finding, you know, dope-ass samples.
Love.
Attunement from Derek Van Scoten. Let's get back to the interview.
So let's talk about your releases. Your EP came out about a year ago. What was your artistic vision for that release? What were your creative goals? Was that also part of this phase where you were trying to maybe avoid using samples and relying more on your own produced beats that you had created yourself?
Yeah, well, you know, my first album, Before I Sing, which is the full length, you know, that's very sample heavy, and it's, you know, every song has a very obviously sampled vocal track. And I was kind of working on two simultaneous albums at the time, and one was more original material, and one was more sampled. So Beyond the Looking Glass, it was kind of the first release of the lesser sampled material, although there is a song, Attunement, which everybody seems to love, which has that Al Green sample. So I couldn't totally get away from it, but I was definitely moving in that direction, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's the DVS live show like? Are you in perpetual motion on stage, moving from laptop to guitar to what other gear you have on stage?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think like a lot of producers, when I first started out, it was a bunch of pieces of hardware and about 60 million cables, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then, you know, you become more of a Jedi, especially when you start having to fly to gigs, because you start doing the math of how am I going to get everything here without having to check $300 worth of bags or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, these days I keep it much more simple and try to find all the variations within simplicity that I can. So, you know, it's really just a laptop and a controller that has like one gigantic session of all my tunes. I have one session that has probably 70 to 85 tunes in it. So at any point, I can jump to one tune or the other. And then I have my guitar, and you know, a lot of times I just send my guitar right through a mixer, or if I'm driving to gigs, I'll bring my amp and all my pedals and stuff like that. So it's really just kind of two main elements. And I find that once I simplified the elements, I was able to find so much more creative variation within that.
Is there a piece of equipment or software that you're using to blend live and produce sounds that's just essential to capturing your thing?
Yeah, I use, my setup is it's Ableton 8, and then I use the Akai APC 40. And in my Ableton session, I actually break everything up by instruments. So I'm always running at least 4 to 5 tracks. And that way, it's really easy for me to jump around and segue in between songs and stuff like that, or, you know, take the bass line out or the drums out for a breakdown. So that kind of stuff. So I use Ableton with the APC 40 all broken up. And then my guitar is just a variety of like pedals that I've amassed through the years. And, you know, when I fly, I actually have like a centralized controller that has, it's kind of an all-in-one effects. So I can, at any point, you know, it's like a 6-inch piece of gear that has like the equivalent of 100 pedals inside of it.
DVS's remix of Passion Pit's Sleepyhead from his remix album, How It Ends.
You've been in various one-off projects like Low Tide with Mike Rempel and Chuck Morris from Lotus. Are you currently putting in time with any interesting arrangements with your friends from around the music biz?
Yeah, well, recently this year, right before I left Boulder, Ben Samples and I did almost an album's worth of material, probably even more than that. He's the latest collaboration that I've done, and that was kind of cool because he was doing almost all of the beat production, and that really allowed me to just go crazy and just do like the most wild produced guitar things I could dream of. The trick there is now we have like 13 tunes and both of us are too busy to actually mix it because we're both so busy with our solo stuff.
Yeah.
So he's been the latest collaboration, and I'd say now, you know, my collaborations are taking place more in the realm of remixing other people's stuff. Like actually just today I finished a remix for Emancipator, and you know, we've always had a good bond because we're similar in that we're guitar players that produce a lot of down-tempo stuff. So
sure.
Yeah, so nowadays it's much more, just because I'm much more busy with gigging and trying to, you know, have a prolific output, I'd say my collaborations come, you know, in the respect of doing other people's remixes.
Okay, and so what else is on your plate right now? You mentioned touring.
So what's going on is I'd say my next step is I'm actually submitting a lot of my music to labels. I think that's my next step as an artist, is to get that out there. I've had, you know, a good amount of feedback from various people out in the industry, in both like the straight up electronic scene and then like the live electro jam scene, and various labels and both of those genres and scenes. So, you know, really trying to get it out there. And I'd say 2011 will probably see me do a lot more national touring and, you know, just kind of branching out there and really, you know, finding my place in the world as an electronic musician that regularly incorporates guitar. I mean, I think that is my branding or my stamp, is that you will always find really, you know, stylish or radical guitar playing weaved inside all of my productions.
And any big dates coming up?
Well, I just did a run with Eodo. That was really fun throughout the Northeast. So I got to, because I just moved to Brooklyn, so I got to meet a lot of people on that. We played Brooklyn last weekend and it was sold out. So now it's, there's a, you know, I'm doing a show with Fort Knox 5 in a few weeks and a few things like that. I'd say you're actually catching me in a big incubation period where a lot of things are just starting to percolate. So I'd say, you know, by the time this comes out, there'll probably be a lot more news.
Absolutely. Eodo, Fort Knox 5, both big friends of the show. It seems like you're making the transition to Brooklyn very well. I imagine the scenes are radically different going from sort of the acoustic scene in Boulder over to Brooklyn, where there's all sorts of experimental music happening on all fronts, and especially just the explosion of indie.
Yeah, it's good. It's you know, it's very inspiring to see all this different stuff. And, you know, it's funny because once I moved to Brooklyn, it's kind of like my career just instantly branched out nationally, in the respect that, like, when I came here, I started getting interest for publishing and licensing. Like, so people wanted me to submit my beats for various TV shows, and then I ended up doing some touring with Eodo, and I did some touring with Big Gigantic and Alex B. And then there's this whole New York scene that I'm like just starting to tap into. So it's, and New York is just so vast. I mean, there's, you know, there's easily 10 good parties a night, and that's not even just on the weekends. So I mean, there's so much to be seen, so much to be heard, you know, so much music to learn about. So that's really why I moved here, is just to be inundated with musical culture.
That's fantastic. Derek Van Scoten, thanks so much for being on the Uns podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Uns podcast. Thanks go to Josh Smith with Banjos to Beats Presents and Re-Evolution Media. And of course, my guest, Derek Van Scoten. Stay tuned to theUns.com to find out about DVS's upcoming dates and releases. If you love theUns.com and the Uns podcast, show it. Nominate us for an International Dance Music Award by going to wintermusicconference.com and clicking on the IDMA link. Fill out the top section and then vote for the Uns and the Uns podcast in sections 26 and 27. Thanks for your support. Next week on the Uns podcast, heavy-hitting duo Bass Science will be on the program. The dubstep and glitch hop force of Matt B and Devin Landau has been making waves all over the country since signing to 1320 Records. Remember to visit theuns.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the Uns podcast, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's ANAND @theuns.com. Catch you next week.